nature within us that fights against God and fights against righteousness and holiness. We live in a world system that rejects God and resists God and ignores God. Life is hard because of sin. But at the same time, God is good. God is good. God is sovereign, and God is righteous, and God is full of grace and mercy and love, and He cares for us. And He gives us, His people, all that we need for life and godliness through Jesus Christ. And God even works in and through the hard things and the difficult things, the sinful things in our lives to show His greatness and His goodness and His grace toward us. But sometimes, life is not hard. Sometimes there is prosperity and success and health and peace and reward and blessing. And sometimes we might even be able to say, life is good and God is good. But here's the challenge. Sometimes when life is good, we lose sight of God. We forget God. We forget God's grace. We forget God's hand of goodness and mercy in our lives. And sometimes the prosperity of life can challenge our faith and our confidence in God. And times of prosperity can put a shadow on our fellowship with God. Now, what that means then is this. We need to learn how to handle success. Now, in Genesis chapter 41, we can learn much from this man named Joseph. God had actually prepared Joseph for success, but Joseph didn't know it. And all the trouble in his family, and all the trouble in Egypt, and all the struggle in his own heart, and the response to God had prepared him for position and power and authority. Folks, think about it. That day in the prison had started just like every day for the past several years, but by the end of the day, Joseph was the second most powerful man in the kingdom of Egypt. And so the question then we ask is, well, how did he respond? How did Joseph handle success? Let me share with you this morning five principles, five truths in handling success from the life of Joseph. The first principle is this. Admit that God is the source of all success. Let's think about our passage and think about the context of what's happening. Pharaoh had these dreams about fat cows and lean cows and plump ears of grain and lean ears of grain. And when Pharaoh's magicians could not interpret these dreams, the cupbearer, whose dream Joseph had interpreted in prison 2 years before, mentioned Joseph and his ability to interpret dreams. And so Pharaoh calls for Joseph. Joseph, the forgotten son, the Hebrew slave, the Egyptian prisoner, the falsely accused servant, was ushered into the presence of one of the most powerful men on earth. Imagine just for a moment how Joseph must have felt. From that dark, dreary prison to the bright, shining presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. When I think about it, I can't even imagine it. I can't get my mind around what he experienced within just a short matter of time. No doubt Joseph had to be a bit overwhelmed by the situation. But look closely at Joseph's response to Pharaoh. When Pharaoh says, "I hear that you can interpret dreams," It would have been easy for Joseph to say, oh, it's really nothing, or it's something I've worked on for a few years. But instead, Joseph clearly and plainly says in verse 16, look at it with me. He says, it's not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. You see, folks, Joseph knew that his ability had come from God. He knew that the source of this power had come from God. And he didn't let the situation or the circumstances or the surroundings or the people around him affect his response to Pharaoh. It's like he says, it's not me, it's God. Without God, I'm nothing. God is the source of my ability. God is the source of all that I say and all that I do. And folks, we bring this truth into our own lives this morning because this truth is the same. When we experience success or victory or blessing or prosperity, the source is God. Hold your place in Genesis 41 and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I want you to see a statement by the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. So here's how the Apostle Paul says it. He's writing to believers who were struggling with areas of pride. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, he says, for who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? And so Paul's point as he speaks to these believers is simply this, that we receive everything from God. All that we have, all about us, we receive this from God. And folks, that means that we might plan and purpose and work and labor, but all of it comes from God. And when we remember and admit that God is the source of all of our success, it will keep us from pride. And believe me, we have to fight this pride. When people build you up and people praise you and compliment you in any area of life, then it must be settled, already settled in your heart that it all comes from God. Because God can lift us up and God can bring us down. And all that we have comes from Him. And so God is the source of our success. And the first principle we learn from Joseph this morning is this, that He is the source. And when we recognize that, we will handle success properly. There's a second truth in this passage that will help us this morning. Bear witness of God's enabling grace. Now, Joseph didn't just think to himself that God was the source of his ability to interpret dreams. He told Pharaoh about it. He knew it. He'd known it for years, and yet when this opportunity comes, and even in prior opportunities, Joseph gave God the credit. He knew that God was the source. And so he tells Pharaoh, it would have been easy for him to keep silent and let it pass, but instead he boldly lets it be known up front that God was the source of his ability. And there was no show. There was no hocus pocus from Joseph. There was no production with incantations and magic. Joseph simply said, God will give you the answer. God will do this. And then he gives Pharaoh the straight answer. He gives Pharaoh the straight stuff. He tells him the truth. And in the process, Joseph mentions God three times. Look at verse 25. And then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Verse 28. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Verse 32. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing is established by God and God will shortly bring it to pass. And folks, Pharaoh gets the point of Joseph's words. He's probably filtering these words through his polytheistic mind, but he acknowledges that there is a divine spirit in Joseph, and God has informed Joseph of all these things. Look at verse 38. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you." Brothers and sisters, this morning we need to give God credit for who He is and what He does. You see, it is far too easy for people to ascribe success due to hard work and good judgment and righteous behavior and moral convictions. And folks, these are real things, and these things should be a part of our lives as the followers of God. But as a Christian, we will have many opportunities to bear witness to the Lord as the explanation for our performance and our behavior. And this can happen at work, this can happen in the home, this can happen at school, it can happen any place. God will give us these opportunities. Many, many years ago, the boys and I were at a Kohl's department store and we were looking at some sale items. And I walked up to a rack of sweatshirts and there was a wallet on the top of the rack. And I picked it up and I said, "Hey boys, look what I found." And they were surprised and they had this look on their faces like, "Now what, Dad?" So I simply said, "Well, let's go turn it in to the clerk." And I didn't look in it, I didn't open it, but I took it to the clerk and I gave it to the clerk and she thanked me and she said, "Well, you're such a good man." And I said, "No, I am not. I have a good and gracious Savior, and His name's Jesus, and that's the reason why I'm giving this back to you." Folks, God will give you opportunities to glorify Him and to praise Him and to show that He is the most important part of your life. This is the way that we have to live. We have to be prepared for this. This is our heart. This is the way that we live. Joseph gave testimony to Pharaoh about God because that's the way that Joseph lived. That was his life. Honoring God was always in his mind. And so the second truth this morning is this: we can handle success when we bear witness to God's enabling grace. There's a third truth. Give testimony of God's sovereignty. Now, three times Joseph tells Pharaoh that God has determined what's going to happen, and it will happen. We looked at those verses. Verse 25, God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Verse 28, God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Verse 32, this thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Even though Pharaoh was the most powerful man on earth, he was nothing in comparison to the sovereign God of the universe. And so in a very clear testimony, Joseph is letting this powerful king know that he is nothing in the sight of God, who was able to send prosperity and send famine. Folks, the sovereignty of God is a truth that runs throughout this record of Joseph's life. As we continue this study, if there is one thing that you should learn from this study, you should walk away and you should be convinced God is sovereign. God is in control and He works in every part of our lives. His purpose and His plan is working. It's obvious that God has His hand on all of these events. Whether it be Joseph's dreams, whether it's his brother's actions against him, whether it was his sale to Potiphar, his imprisonment, his meeting the baker, the cupbearer, his eventual release, the people and the actions in Joseph's life were only bringing about the will of God for God's people. And folks, these people in his life, these events in his life. These things that took place against him. Those people were responsible for their sinful actions, but God used their sinful actions to accomplish his purpose. You see, God was sovereign even over the sinful actions of people. As we look at the record of Joseph, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to try to ease the sovereignty of God by saying something like this when a terrible event takes place. We'll say, well, God didn't cause it, but God allowed it. You know, sometimes when I hear that, what runs through my mind is this, and it even runs through my own thoughts. We try to get God off the hook for tragedies and calamities. Brothers and sisters, we don't have to get God off the hook. We don't have to defend God. God is fully able to defend himself. He is sovereign. The Bible plainly teaches that God is in sovereign control of all things, and at the same time, sinful men are responsible for their actions, and at the same time, this sovereign God will hold sinful man accountable for his actions. See, if we know and understand in some measure the sovereignty of God, then we should humbly accept the truth that God sends calamities. And God sends and purposes tragedies. And God plans and purposes hard and difficult events to accomplish his divine purpose. You see, folks, our challenge is we don't see the big picture. We don't see it. We can't see how God can use the bad things. And people sin, and people do wrong, and people resist God, and they reject God, and people do horrible, terrible things. But over it all, and through it all, and working through all of that, is the God who rules over all things. And God's people have this precious promise. A promise that we should memorize, a promise that we should hold to and live in each and every day, that we know that God works all things together for good to those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. Now, does this mean then that we just sit back and take it? Well, yes and no. It means that we recognize God's control and we respond to the situation by trusting God. And folks, this can mean that we respond to the situation by obeying God's word. This can mean that we can respond to the situation by helping and serving and giving ourselves to those who were suffering. And whatever the response, it must be a response where we trust God and we put our confidence in God and we look to his promises and we live by his promises. You see, Joseph would make preparations and take action to address the famine that was coming, but in the process, Joseph bore witness to the sovereignty of God over it all. And so the truth then is this: we can handle success when we bear testimony of God's sovereignty. There's a fourth truth. Honor God through gratitude. We get a glimpse of Joseph's heart through his family. So here's what's happening now as we think about this passage. Pharaoh elevates Joseph to the number two spot of authority in the land of Egypt. And Joseph would oversee the preparations and the response to the coming famine. Look at verse 41. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." And then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, "Bow the knee." And so he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. A few hours before, he was in a dungeon. And now he's the second most powerful man in this kingdom. He had power. He had prestige. Pharaoh's ring, fine clothing, gold chain, chariot that follows Pharaoh, honor from all the people. Only Pharaoh had more power than Joseph. And notice then that Pharaoh gives Joseph an Egyptian name. Verse 45, and Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zophnath-Paneah. Now the name is important because this syllable, Noth, is related to an Egyptian god. And the name means the God who speaks and lives. Now I don't think Joseph would have given himself a name after an Egyptian idol. But folks, it just shows how powerful is Joseph's testimony of the one true God. And even though Pharaoh doesn't know this God, he realizes that Joseph does. And Pharaoh sees Joseph as the representative of the God who speaks and lives. Then notice also that Pharaoh gives Joseph an Egyptian wife. Verse 45 says, and he gave him as a wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph's wife's name was Asenath. And again, we see that syllable, Noth. Asenath means belonging to Noth. She was the daughter of an Egyptian priest. Verse 46 says, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Folks, Joseph is a young man. He has position and power and privilege and prosperity. It would have been very easy for Joseph just to blend in to Egyptian life. He could have put it all behind him, but he didn't. The Holy Spirit through Moses gives us insight into the heart of Joseph. He was humble. He was thankful before God. And we see that in the naming of his sons. Look at verse 50. And to Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Consider for a moment the names of Joseph's sons. First of all, there is Manasseh. It's a Hebrew name that means forget. And Joseph says, for God has made me forget all my trouble and my father's household. Second son is Ephraim. Hebrew means twice fruitful. Joseph says, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Another way to say it, God has made me abundantly fruitful in the land of my affliction. What is Joseph saying? He's saying, life has been hard, but God is good. Life has been hard, but God is good. And even in the naming of these sons, we see that his focus is God and his attention is God. God has removed the sting from my memory, and God has caused me to be fruitful. It's about God in his life. It's about what God is doing and has done. And folks, these are the attitudes and the actions of a man who trusts God and thanks God. This is how we handle success. we handle success with a heart of gratitude toward God. There's a fifth truth. Do the work that God gives. Now, Joseph did not sit back and bask in the light of Egyptian glory. He got busy. Pharaoh gave him a responsibility and all the tools that he needed to do the work, and Joseph did it. Look at verse 53. And then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. The famine was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, do." The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all lands. Brothers and sisters, Joseph had proved himself to be faithful by God's grace, and God used him greatly. And not only to save the nation of Egypt, but God would use Joseph to save God's people, the family of Jacob. And this responsibility, it came upon him quickly, but it came upon him after years of preparation. You see, folks, what that means is that faithfulness in a little brings faithfulness in a lot. Being faithful to a little responsibility will bring opportunity for larger responsibility. And Joseph never looked for promotion. He simply looked to God, and he lived toward God. He was devoted to God, and God took care of the promotions. And God did it in God's timing. And Joseph did the job well. He had the character and the competence, and he used what God gave him. And by his labor, Egypt was saved, and even the nations and the people around Egypt would also benefit. And the faithfulness and the integrity of this Hebrew slave turned Egyptian ruler would even impact a certain family back in the land of Canaan. And we'll look more at that next week. Joseph handled success by being faithful and devoted to the work before him. And brothers and sisters, we must do the same. We must also do it. So how do we handle success? How do we respond when life is good? Admit that God is the source of all success. Bear witness of God's enabling grace. Give testimony of God's sovereignty. Honor God through gratitude, and do the work that God gives us to do. And when we handle success in this way, who gets the glory? God does. God does. And that, brothers and sisters, is why we exist, for the glory of God. Let's bow our heads.